Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's definitely becoming fall weather. I have to turn my heater on at home so my wife doesn't get upset being too cold. We want to welcome you here today at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I have two announcements. First one is deacons are meeting next week after service, so Christian plans on attending that meeting. And the other one is I heard good news from BJ that the craft show went very well, and I think they raised something on the order of $2,300 from the craft show. So that's really great. Thank you, women of the church. Thank you very much. With that, we'll turn over to Kristen to start the service.
Oh, sorry, Carol.
Go ahead.
Carol's doing 2022 envelopes. Anybody wants to go to a monthly basis, let her know so she can set up the envelopes.
I also have one more announcement. I want to thank you all very much for your prayers during my last ordination exam. I found out this week that I did pass. Which is good because that was awful and I never want to take that again. So thank you. All right, with that being said, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Praise the Lord, for God is great indeed. Let us sing praises for God's glorious works. We give glory, honor, and thanksgiving to the Lord, who makes and sustains all things. Let us rise as we're able and join in our opening hymn. Immortal, invisible God, only wise, number 12. Let us join together in our prayer of confession. Lord Jesus Christ, you know our sin. We want you to do whatever we ask of you, but we are unwilling to do what you ask of us. We want to sit beside you in your glory, but we fail to stand beside you in your suffering. We want to be first in your great kingdom, but we are among the last to serve the least. Forgive us, pour out your mercy on us, and wash us clean in your saving grace. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen. People of God, your sins are forgiven, for the Lord who made all things knows our weaknesses. Therefore, turn away from sin and obey the words of the Lord. Be reconciled to the community in service and love. Amen. Let us join together in confessing our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. All right, let us quiet our hearts and minds for our choir's anthem. Friends, let us gather up our prayers. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are our high priest who offered yourself for us with your prayers and tears, your very body. Help us to pray and offer supplication for ourselves and our community. With all who are persecuted and oppressed, we pray for justice, freedom, and peace. With all who are afflicted with sickness or sorrow, especially the family of Evelyn Poyner. She was a member here, and she passed away this week at age 96. No arrangements have been made at this time, but we'll keep you apprised. Also, Nancy Page. She meets this week with an oncologist about further treatment after a hysterectomy. We also pray for Jeff Schultes, who has a lung infection, and Bruce Lucas, Patty and Faye's cousin, who has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and chemo is to start on October 25th. We pray for all who work for the good of the community. We pray for vision, strength, and joy. We especially give thanks for answered prayers and a good outcome on a difficult exam. With all who humbly serve the last and least, we pray for faithfulness, patience, and love. All these things we pray through Jesus Christ, the source of our eternal salvation, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, please rise and join us in the hymn of meditation, number 727. Please be seated for our offering. Jesus said, "Those who wish to be great must become servants to all. With humility and hope, let us offer the gifts of our lives to the Lord." Gifts, multiply them so that they might help build your kingdom on earth and be of service to the body of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. You are able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May the Lord bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. O God, your word gives us counsel for our understanding. Enable us to receive it today in the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if many of you have been to a bookstore or a library recently. Bookstores are sort of few and far between these days. But there's often a very large selection of books about leadership and how to manage others. Our culture very much assumes that we all want to be at the top. And don't get me wrong, it does feel good to be king. It feels good to be someone that other people look up to and seek out when they need an answer. It feels really good when you tell someone to do something and they just do it. Alas, none of us were born king or queen. So we must pay our dues as we climb the rungs on the ladder to get to the top. We've got some pretty interesting euphemisms about what it takes to get to the top. It's every man for himself in this dog-eat-dog world. One of my favorites is, you're either driving the bus or getting run over by it. So some of these most frequently used sayings imply that people are commodities. They're obstacles that we have to smash down. You know you've obtained success when you have a position of power which can be lorded over others. But it is not so among you, Jesus says. When I've read this scripture in the past, I've thought of James and John as kind of naive. This is just sort of an innocent question where they're trying to figure out where they fit in amongst the disciples. But after sitting with this passage for a little bit this week, I became a little uncomfortable and I'm not so sure anymore. They start out saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Those of you with children, have you ever had one of your kids come to you and say, "Mom, if I tell you something, do you promise not to tell Dad?" Or have you held the credit card statement in your hands in front of your spouse and said, "Before you open this, I need you to promise not to get mad." Make no mistake, James and John knew exactly what they were doing. They were trying to skip a few rungs on that ladder to the top. But Jesus wasn't about to blindly give them, or anyone else, whatever they want. So he calmly asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" There's no real indication here of whether James and John were startled by this. Maybe they just accepted Jesus' question as an affirmation that he would do whatever they ask. So they continue. "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." For a little context, sitting on someone's left and right are signs of power and prestige. Basically, James and John are asking to be top officials in Jesus' future government. I might be projecting a little bit here, but I picture Jesus looking at them both incredulously. "Were you not paying attention just a minute ago?" And through the three verses directly before this, Jesus clearly predicts his death for the third time. In verse 33, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him." Seems pretty clear to me. But who knows? Maybe James and John thought that this was just another one of Jesus' parables, and they really just wanted first rights to share in the glory before the other disciples got in on it. Or maybe they really did understand. And because they understood, they were afraid. And maybe that fear made them seek the promise of a secure future by means of wealth and status. Regardless, I don't think that they could have predicted the irony of criminals on the right and left of Jesus when he came into his glory on the cross. Jesus simply tells them, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with a baptism that I am baptized with?" James and John assure him, "Yes, we can. We can do that." Whew. Are you sure about that, James and John? Are they really willing to be united in redemptive suffering? Jesus makes it clear to them that there are steps on that ladder to the top. And it's not up to Jesus to grant the seats to the right or to the left. "You will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant." Ultimately, sitting at the right or the left is the prerogative of God the Father alone. The other disciples kind of get wind of what's happening between Jesus, James, and John. And let me tell you, they're not real pleased about it. Is Jesus playing favorites? Why did James and John go behind their back? The other 10 think that they should be VIPs in the kingdom too. Jesus sees that this could quickly get out of hand, so he calls them all together and patiently explains discipleship. "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Authority in the earthly world, then and now, seems to have a lot of perks. There's a lot of benefits. Power, wealth, control, status, influence. This is the temporal authority the disciples understand and they seek. But this isn't how it's supposed to be with the disciples. That kind of leadership is what takes them away from one another and further away from God. God's kingdom is not a dog-eat-dog world of career advancement. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not bad to aspire to greatness. It's the way that greatness is achieved. The disciples are to be acting out a countercultural form of leadership and greatness. This type of leadership is defined in terms of service and promotion of others' well-being, not our own. To rise up, we must first bow down. True leadership should be exercised through service, acting towards the benefit of others, not using them as pawns. "But it is not so among you," Jesus said. He didn't just say it, he lived and died it, so that we could be free from the need to be great over others. We can become great and participate in his glory by being like Jesus, who is committed to the flourishing of the whole world through love and service. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise as you're able and join me in our closing hymn, number 320. Before we leave from this place, let me offer a blessing. God knows you by name and calls you to serve others in His. Go then to love and serve the Lord by loving and serving all of those with whom you share this earthly life. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all today and every day. Amen.
Amen.